where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side. Hello and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and purpose by embracing our divine essence. And we have Emma Turton on the show today. She is a medical intuitive, and she really is an intuitive badass. I have no idea what her professional bio says, but I need you to know that because I have had a session with her and she's amazing. And she is pioneering the space where all of this medical stuff is meeting the metaphysics. So it's all about science and intuition and joining the two together. Emma, I'm really excited to talk about how we can become our own medical intuitives and use this divine power and truth inside of ourselves to really become our own doctor and our healer and medicine woman and man. So thank you so much for joining us so we can talk about this.
Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here today.
My absolute pleasure. We can, just so you know, Emma and I had to catch up on our lives before this podcast, and we cannot stop laughing. So this podcast hopefully will make you laugh and inspire you to new levels of knowing how powerful you are. So Emma, maybe can you share with us a bit of your background? So how did you get into sharing this with the world?
That's a great question. It's been a long journey. I started as a physiotherapist with a degree in science. So I was very much a scientist and loved my maths and physics. I was a complete nerd when I was growing up. But I then, working as a health professional, I also was lecturing at a university, and I went through my own health transformation. Found myself at 28. I was obese, I was depressed, I was sick in so many ways, lots of chronic health problems. I had been given a handful of diagnoses that were, I was told I would have for life, and I had a fistful of medication I was told to take every single day for the rest of my life. None of these things would clear up. So I went on a real health journey at that point and tried to figure out what was going on with my body. So from that point onwards, I studied nutrition, and I went through this huge transformation myself, a huge journey. I healed all of the things that were wrong with me. I healed all of the things that were wrong with me, and I still found that there were some other things going on. And in the process, I found I went through a real spiritual awakening, and I'd always been a very spiritual person, but this was different. This was like nothing else. And I realized over the last few years that I've been getting very, very clear messages, not just about my own body, but also about other people's bodies and other people's alignment with their own highest good, with their soul. So I've had to really go deep into that, because my body would not stop talking about what's going on in other people. So, and which is my intuitive connection. So I had to really go deep into that so that I could actually get some peace to begin with. And now I realize it's my way to serve. It really is. It's my superpower. I have to use it, and I have to show up every day doing it because I love it so much. Mm. And it, since that realization, and actually realizing how to open the door to use this for the greater good, as opposed to just for my journaling, it's been really, really powerful for me. Been completely life-changing. It's changed everything. So from that point, I've become a medical intuitive, and I can now help other people to learn how to tune into their own bodies as well.
Amazing. I didn't actually know all of that about you, so that's a really cool transformation. Imagining you obese is just, I cannot Yeah, I cannot imagine it. And maybe you were just tuning into like the collective consciousness of obese people. And that's what you were just channeling. Your body was like, hey, we have a problem worldwide, Emma. And if you could just maybe fix that, that'd be great.
Well, yeah. And I do feel a little bit like a conduit in that way. And it isn't an uncommon story, particularly for women, but it isn't an uncommon story for people to get to their late 20s, early 30s, mid 30s, late 30s and have a sudden crisis in health. And a lot of people actually come to a spiritual awakening through their body. Some people have already gone through spiritual awakenings before, but often, I mean, it's easy to ignore that stuff. It's not easy to ignore the physical. When you are stopped in your tracks by your body, you can't ignore that. And you have the choice at that point to go two ways. You either go down the path of just labeling yourself with a condition and treating yourself with medicine to suppress your symptoms so you don't have to show up in that way. Or you go, you know what, I'm going to do what I can to manage what I'm dealing with right now, but I'm going to show up and find out why this is here for me right now. And those two, you have that choice at that point. Some people go down one way and some go down the other. And the ones who go down this path are the ones that have a profound spiritual awakening that's come through their health crisis.
Yeah, yeah. So we did, only a couple of weeks ago on this podcast, we spoke with Ali Grieger about the wisdom that our bodies have within and how to tap into that. Excuse me. But it's those messages that if we deny them become illness and dis-ease. And I have had, this is vulnerable guys, but you all know that I share my vulnerable side anyway. Do you know, actually a side note for everyone who's been listening to the podcast for a while, now that I'm single, I've realized if I want to date anyone, all they have to do to find out my whole life story is listen to my podcast. They can find out like my past sex life. Like it's a bit strange, but anyway.
That's so true. Really? You can totally stalk you.
And so some people have contacted me talking about how much they love like what I share and all about me, and they know all about me, but I've never met them before. It's like an unfair advantage. But cool, because it kind of weeds out the people who aren't interested in all of this stuff. So
that's true.
Yeah. Side note for all of the people who've been listening for a while. So I have realized that in my relationships, this is the vulnerable share, that when I've known it was time to leave and I haven't, even if it was super unconscious at that point, like I wasn't aware, my body started to show me. So I would, if I had ever had sex that wasn't completely in alignment, my body gives me like thrush or a urine infection almost instantly. And I got to the point where I'm like, okay, body, I know what this is. And so I'll heal it using my own intuition. I'm like, okay, here's the perception that I had around this situation. Heal it, or you know, make a change around the relationship. And I can do that literally by bringing white light and love and understanding to that. And I'm guessing, is that what being your own medical intuitive is a bit about?
Yes, that's certainly part of it, absolutely. That's what I would call the end part. That's the very advanced level, so you're already at that level, which is great. But then you have also taken other steps that you're probably not aware of, or that you may be aware of, but may not be aware of how linked they are to that end stage. So that tuning in to the actual energetic nature of an issue or something that's showing up for you that may be manifesting physically, and you already know a lot about your physical body and how your chakras relate to your physical body and your energetic body and your relationships. So you already have that understanding. And that's a really big part of the process for a lot of people who are learning how to do this for themselves, because that's quite a foreign way of looking at themselves for a lot of people. But once you have that understanding, yes, you can absolutely tune in and heal things at a deep level, particularly if they're only just starting to show up. It's much easier to heal something when you start to get an inkling of, say, thrush, that you can actually tune in and heal it. If it's been plaguing you and you've got systemic thrush through your whole body and it's been there for a year, it's much harder to clear through the energetic means alone by yourself without some backup and without taking the physical steps to start to reinforce the energetic shifts. Because once it's really fully embodied, it's harder to clear. It's not impossible at all. It's totally possible to clear it, but it's just, it just takes a little bit more of bringing in the big guns.
Yeah.
So yes, yeah, you can actually tune in the early stages for sure and clear things up. But for most people, there's a lot of steps before that.
Beautiful. Okay. So I wanted to share that because I want everyone listening to know that that is the power that you have. We have the power to understand what is going on in our body and then heal it without needing to go to antibiotics or something like that at some level. And so sometimes I've gone to antibiotics because my body told me that's what I needed. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to discount like medicine at all, but I just wanted to, like, at the front of this podcast, let everyone know that this is what is possible. It is possible for you to have, like, it, no matter how long you've had pain somewhere or something like that, it is possible for you to understand what that message is and then to have complete wellness from understanding that message and being able to heal it. So, so I would love for you to share with us, Emma, what do you feel in your body when you're with someone else? And then maybe we'll move into how do we do that ourselves. But I'd love to know how it works for you first.
Do you mean when I'm with a client?
Yeah, or by yourself, either way.
Okay. Well, I am predominantly clairsentient, which means I feel. So there's all the different clairs. Like most people have heard of clairvoyance, which is to see. But my dominant sense is clairsentience, which means I feel physically in my body what's going on for other people and for myself. So I'll get a physical sensation of my intuition as well. When I'm tuning into, and I've learned now to not just be picking people's stuff up all the time, which has been very liberating, I can tell you. Sometimes it's been a bit overwhelming in the past, but now it's great. So if I'm tuning into another person, I will physically feel the symptoms in my body, as in I might feel heat or cold, I might feel pain, stabbing, I might feel like I'm having a heart attack, I might feel, it can be quite full on. I might feel thrush. I might feel the symptoms of a whole variety of things. It might be pins and needles, shooting pains. It might be cold, or it might be a real hard lump somewhere. Mm. Or I might just feel like there's an energetic something going on. And then I'll tune into the emotions behind that as well. And they come up physically for me too. Sometimes I will actually feel another person's emotion. I'll say I can feel an incredible sadness, and I'll start to pull that apart and figure out what's lying beneath that sadness. But for me, it is a very physical experience, but that's just how I work. And from that point on, I get images, I get knowing, I hear things. So all of the other stuff makes sense of it. It's very hard to put feelings into words. Mm-hmm. Without just describing, it's very hard to put them into something that means something to somebody else. So the other clairs come in for me. That's where I start to have the clairvoyance, and I can actually go into it. And it can be in the past, before I realized that I was sensing other people's things, before I knew what I was doing and where my strengths lie. And I used to see it as a liability, not as a strength. Mm-hmm. I would find it very scary because I had spinal cord symptoms, I had heart attack symptoms, I had all of these things, and I would be in physically crushing pain, or my foot would contort into a cramp, or there would be very strange physical things that you could measure that were actually happening to me, but then would pass and I'd be fine. And so once I figured out that they weren't mine, it was an incredible liberating moment that I realized, and then I could actually pass on information to people and they could actually benefit from it in that way, because some people really don't want to hear the messages their body's trying to tell them, and they'll do everything they can to try and silence them.
Mm. I love what you said about once you realized it was a message for someone else, it gave you freedom. And I'd love to touch on that, because I know that when I first started being an intuitive guide, I would say, start to feel really sore in my heart half an hour before I got on a session, and I was like, no, you need to be feeling really good for this session. And then I rocked up anyway, and I hadn't been able to clear it, and I realized it wasn't my heart, it was my client's heart, and I was being told in advance what I needed to work on with her that day. And even just the question for me, is this mine or is this someone else's, has helped me to just like receive intuitive guidance around that. And as soon as you know it's someone else's, to give it back to the divine to process. What do you do to make sure that you're only getting your stuff, or, you know, client stuff who have actually paid you and you're actually choosing to serve?
Well, I've set the intention at the beginning of it. That's a very good question, because yes, if you, and I have shown up before a little bit sick sometimes and thought, oh, is this going to go okay? Because I'm kind of riddled with my symptoms, because, you know, we all get sick from time to time. And so, and yes, the biggest part is I set my intention. I spend a minimum of half an hour at the beginning of my work day preparing. I prepare my space, I prepare myself, I prepare my energy. Mm-hmm. And a big part of that is setting my intention to only be receiving on behalf of my clients for the day. That's not all that I do, but that's a big part of it. And it's as simple as setting that intention. And a few weeks ago, I was actually I'd had a cold over the weekend and I was working on the Tuesday and I thought, oh, do I cancel? I said, no, you know, I actually need to do this, because I tuned into myself to see I wasn't pushing myself too hard. Mm. I felt, and you may have the same experience, but when we serve others, we're serving ourselves. We feel an incredible lift in our own energy and spirits every time we serve somebody else to lift theirs. Mm. And through that service, we heal ourselves just as much as we heal others. So, you know what, actually, I think this is the right thing. I need to be there for these people. They actually need me today, and I'm not going to reschedule today. I'm going to work through this. So I set the intention in the morning that, despite the fact I'd been coughing, woken up very, very sinusy, blocked up, I set the intention to only receive my clients' information for the day for their highest good, so that I could work on their behalf. And within 10 minutes, I thought, oh, this is great. Oh, it's gone. It's actually gone. Oh, good. I've cured myself. Jeez, I'm so powerful. And spent the whole day working with my clients, no problems, receiving, no problems, connected, no problems at all. And then 10 minutes before the end of my day, it was just before 5 o'clock, I felt like I'd been hit by a bus and I suddenly was sick as a dog again.
You needed to hear your own messages.
I did. And you know the funny thing? That's the funny thing. And obviously at some point we can get powerful enough to not have to experience it. If we can set it aside for our clients, and I'm obviously not there yet, but if we can set it aside for our clients, then we can set it aside for good.
Yeah.
That moment that we choose to, it does not need to be a process that's elongated. It's only our belief in the time that it takes to heal from disease that makes it take time.
And I just want to say one thing there. Just before this, you told me that your whole family got sick and you started to feel the start of it, and you did not have to experience the whole thing. So you actually are already that powerful, Emma. Just
thank you. Yeah. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. The big part is actually tuning in and hearing the messages, because often they're coming through loudest when we least want to hear them.
Yeah. That reminds me of a time when I was an event manager doing a 3-day event. And I think on the end of the second day, I was cold all over, ached, every muscle in my body ached, and I was about to get maybe 6 hours sleep and do another full 13-hour day or something.
Oh, gosh.
And I said to myself, Kiara, highest self, which was my terminology at the time, I was like, I know what you're doing. I know you're tired. I know that you just want to rest, and I'm going to give you that. But it doesn't matter how you show up tomorrow, I'm still going to do this event. So we may as well not feel bad while we do it. And the next day, no matter how you feel tomorrow, the next day I will give you rest. So you don't need to get sick to get the rest the next day. And so then she was like, okay. And we woke up and we were fine. It's just so interesting how, as long as you get the message, you don't need the illness.
Yeah. Yes. And that's very much, very much around our beliefs as well, in that for you in that moment, at some level, you believe that you needed to get sick in order to earn your rest, that you couldn't take time off for yourself.
Yeah.
Unless you had a physical reason to be able to make that space in your schedule. And we all have that. We all have that programmed into us. It's a work ethic. It's programmed into us. And particularly in my experience as a mother, we don't ever think we can have time off. People bloody post about it all the time on Facebook. That, oh, mums work 24/7, they never get time off. And that's actually not true. We can take as much time off as we like in there. It just depends on what we see as time off.
And side note again, that I feel like a lot of women, this is for women, this one, use their menstrual cycles as a way of taking rest. So if they feel really unwell in like once a month, then they have to, like, they can't get out. What are they meant to do? But if you are allowing yourself to have that rest regardless, since I started to allow myself to rest at the start of my cycle, I don't actually need to have symptoms anymore. So I don't have symptoms of like cramps and stuff. I just rest anyway, and my body doesn't make me feel bad about it. So yeah,
you don't have to have the suffering in order to hear the message. You can hear the message and respond to it without the suffering.
Yeah. So for some people who are feeling like maybe we're lunatics, although most people who are listening are pretty open, I would expect. I think maybe I would love for you to share the connection between the emotion and the physical, because maybe for some people, us talking about like I needed to rest and so I didn't get sick because I realized that is a bit of a, like, they're like, what's the missing point in here?
Yeah. Okay. Well, for the average person, we see illness as a real inconvenience. Mm-hmm. So coming at it from that angle, as opposed to from where we're already talking, but coming at it from the angle of the average person, illness is an inconvenience. It's painful. It's unpleasant. And it's something we don't want. We want to take whatever we can to try and suppress the symptoms of it, so we can just get on with doing what we were doing already, regardless of whether we're enjoying it and regardless of whether our intuition is telling us to do something else. Now, the issue there is that, just remind me of the question again.
I love this. You're talking the connection between emotion and...
Yeah, emotion. And that's right, emotion and physical. Sorry. Thank you.
Just go in there, divine channel.
No, I don't remember the question, but I know what I'm saying. So... for you and I, and certainly the way I work, and we are energy first and physical second, but for the average person, they see us as physical. Energy is questionable. So we get sick, and then what do? If we don't listen to it, say it's just a cold, say we get a cold, and we start taking cold and flu medication because we just want to soldier on, got to get the kids to school, we've got to go to work, we've got to do the shopping, we've got to show up for a partner, we've got to show up for this, we've got to show up for meetings, we've got to look professional, we need to own our job, we need to do all of the things that we need to do. Tick off the whole to-do list, don't have time for a cold right now. How many people have said, I don't have time for a cold right now? Now, that cold is a message. If you don't take the time for the cold, the cold gets stronger. You get a sinus infection, you get tonsillitis, you get a chest infection, you get swollen glands, you might end up with a glandular issue, you might end up with thyroid issues, you might end up with other stuff going on, you might end up with like adrenal fatigue or something bigger, because those things will stop you in your tracks and you will not have a chance to say, I don't have time for this, because you have to make time for those things. They're bigger. You have to at least make time to go to a doctor to get antibiotics, to take some medicine to help clear up an infection. But generally, if you've got a chest infection, you're not going anywhere. And if you try and ignore the chest infection, you end up with pneumonia and are forced into bed to rest. If you then take the end point of that illness, what is it that it gives me? It gives me rest. And you put it at the beginning. Right when you first started, like you said, started to feel a bit viral, start to feel the chills, you start to feel a bit achy and a little bit run down. You put the rest at the beginning. That's the energetic part. That's actually what you're needing at the very beginning. If you take and do it first, you don't end up with the whole journey.
You just made that so simple. So, for example, back to my vulnerable share, which I knew must be for a reason, the thrush thing would mean that I would end up not making love because my body would feel that it didn't want to. So I actually could put in that boundary or address what was causing me to want that boundary at the beginning, hence I don't need the thrush.
That's right. And if you tune into the thrush, tuning into that
thrush. We're talking about my thrush. How funny.
No, thrush is a really good one because it's one women don't talk about, and it's something everybody gets from time to time. Mm. Some people get it all the time. Mm. So, and they still don't talk about it. And it's that secret thing you have to go and whisper to the chemist about to get the horrible stuff that never bloody works anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, so talking about thrush, if you tune into it, what does it feel like? It's angry, it's itchy, it's sore, it burns, it makes you want to punch something. That's exactly how you're feeling towards your partner when you've got it.
Yes.
And that is the energetic, emotional reason behind the thrush.
Yeah.
That is the point at which you connect with your partner. And it's often, sometimes it's as a result of that connection with the partner. Other times it's just that you need to clear that energetic anger that's with that person most intimate in your life, that you then can also, by, you know, taking a little bit of time out from sex and reinforcing some of the physical stuff too, by making it a nicer environment, you know, making it more hospitable. So things like dilute apple cider vinegar, that sort of stuff can really help too. But it's the anger with your partner that actually comes through the strongest when it comes to that particular emotional or energetic reason behind the physical symptom.
So just to really reiterate, for this version of treating medical conditions, it is energy first and then physical second. So once we understand the anger is what caused it, we clear that, and then we can treat the symptoms as well, but we understand what really caused it. Yeah.
That's right. Well, it's the meaning behind. It's not so much the cause, but the meaning. So it can show up in a variety of ways. It doesn't need to be thrush every time you're angry at your partner. Thank goodness, because that would be really annoying. But it's that clearing the energy. And for those people who are listening who have been suffering from something and treating themselves for it, and it comes back, and treating themselves, and it comes back, and treating themselves, and it comes back, and they're doing all the right things and they don't know why it keeps coming back, something must be horribly wrong with them. It's because they're not dealing with that energetic side. They're not dealing with the emotional lesson in there. They're not hearing the message and actually taking the steps to clear that energy out from their body. Once they clear that, the physical stuff will clear up. They can do the physical things they need to do and take the steps. But for those people who have that chronic showing up of irritable symptoms, it's because they're not getting that energetic reason.
Mm. So people who are listening from home, if they're feeling like, okay, cool, well, I've got this thing in my body that seems to be like, you know, something going on here. I love the way that you explained what does thrush feel like, angry, irritable, all of that sort of stuff. And it's connected to the part where you are most connected to your intimate partner. So it kind of makes, even to our mind, which doesn't grasp very much, it kind of makes sense, right? What do you suggest in terms of tools to actually understand what's going on in other areas for the people who are listening from home?
Well, that's very much about knowing your body. And there's two steps in there as well. I think really you have to eliminate the background noise is the first step. And from then you can turn up the volume on your intuition and you can learn more about what the different parts of your body mean and tuning into the symptoms and that sort of stuff. But the first thing the majority of people need to do is eliminate the background noise, because we have so much going on in our bodies all the time that it's very hard to tune in. And particularly if you're in a health crisis, and I work with people who have cancer, I work with people with disabilities, I work with people with all kinds of things. So I'm not just talking about clearing up common colds. But it's about going into taking out the things that are blocking our intuition. So, and in our bodies, we have reactions to things all the time. We may not be aware of it. A lot of people say, oh, I can eat this and I can eat that. I never react. Unless your health is 100% and your weight is exactly bang on where it should be, you are reacting to your food. There is no question about it. Even if you don't think that you get bloated or you don't do this when you eat gluten, or, you know, all of the stories and theories that people tell themselves about food and each other about food and intolerances, most of that stuff is missing the point. because a lot of the imbalance shows up elsewhere, like our thyroid or our joints or our muscles or our brain. It shows up in a variety of other ways, or our immune system. And when we're swamped by all of that stuff, we can't hear what's going on in our body. And often we have symptoms that are happening that can be easily removed just by changing the way we eat and the way we look after ourselves. So first things first is you have to clean up the diet. So taking out all inflammatory foods. If you really want to tune in to what's going on in your body, and particularly if you're struggling with something really big, then take out all the inflammatory foods, by which I mean grains and gluten, dairy, nightshades, sugar, caffeine, alcohol, all the inflammatory foods. And I have a protocol for this as well that I run clients through if they need to do it. But all of those foods removed for 3 weeks, solid, not a single bit can cross your mouth, not one little portion of anything in that time. That 3 weeks you need to actually go through that cleanse. You're eating fresh fruit and vegetables. Nuts are one of the things that can be eliminated too. If some people are sensitive to nuts, you can eat seeds. You can still eat meat. If you eat meat, you can still go through that same, and rice is generally okay for a lot of people, but you can still eat and show up and enjoy life with spices and herbs and all kinds of yummy stuff, but just for that 3 weeks going fully clean. After that point, and journaling through all that time, because that's a really big part of it, knowing what's going on in our bodies, knowing every day, writing down every physical symptom, every bowel movement, every mood change, everything that goes on in that time, really get to journal your body's journey on a daily basis and perhaps how it's relating to what you are or aren't eating. Then at the end of that 3 weeks, you're in a new set point. So you have a new level of background noise, if you like. So you take that background noise right down, and you can actually hear a lot clearer. You eat one food group that you've eliminated, and you see what happens for 3 days, and you journal. And then you see, and if you react in any way, you take it out. And sometimes the reaction can be you get really emotional, or it could be that you're really tired, or that you have a headache, or elbow pain came back that went away for 3 weeks. It can be something really random that does not seem to be related to the food, but you take it back out if you react. And then you try another group, and then another group, and another group. Get to the point where you figure out exactly what serves you, because we are all different. No one diet works for everybody. Mm. We're biodiverse. Once you know exactly what serves your body, and what raises your vibration, what makes you feel good and makes you feel healthy and makes you thrive, and what doesn't, then you can choose from that place of love what it is you want to include in your life and what you don't. Mm. Once you've got that way of eating for you, then you can start to tune in. So you start to meditate. You need to listen, to sit in stillness every single day and actually listen. Ask the questions of your body. Let your body actually tell you, and then listen for the answers that come through. Explore chakras, explore what they mean, read the books about them. There's so many wonderful books about medical intuition and about our chakras and how they relate to the physical body and the energetic and emotional body. And then start to let some of that knowledge go and listen to what your body tells you. Actually tuning in and hearing the messages, and then from that point you can make choices. And once you get in, once it becomes habitual, once you're actually at the point where you know yourself well enough that you know what's new, where did that come from, that's interesting, what else has changed, that's interesting, and it becomes a little bit like being your own scientist. Mm-hmm. So you can actually experiment on yourself a little bit in that way, and you can also experiment with your relationships. If something happens in terms of a big fight or some sort of an upheaval, or you get very upset about something and have a good cry, see what happens with your physical symptoms a few days afterwards. Do you catch a cold 2 days after you cry? Do you get leg pain? Do you have back pain when you can't pay your bills? Find out how things are relating that you never ever related before, and journal it, write it down, and start to pay attention to that stuff, because that stuff is real. It's not you imagining anything. There is no coincidence. Stuff is real. If you get back pain, low back pain, every single time you get a bill in the mail, then your financial stress is showing up in your spine.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you won't need surgery one day. If you would keep ignoring what's showing up every day for you, yes, you may need a discectomy. Yes, you may need spinal fusion. You may end up at an orthopedic surgeon and go down that path. It's not because you had a faulty spine.
Yeah, it's because you didn't listen to the messages along the way. Yeah.
Exactly.
Can you tell us, thank you, Emma, that explains it so well. And I can feel, as I always can, the podcast audience, and I can feel them being like, oh, that's a lot of work. They're like, oh, okay, so I thought we were going to get to do cool stuff, like straight away know what we've got going on inside and be able to heal it. Yeah, and I mean, I just want to share that the reason that I can do that is because I live with my intuition every single day, and so does Emma. And if you want like the shortcut, I guess you can go see Emma. We'll ask her about that at the end. But if you want to truly be in partnership with your body and to hear your messages, it does take clearing out of all the other stuff as well. But Emma, can you share a little bit on the common things that are linked with common symptoms and causes? So like you said, the lower back pain is quite often related with financial instability and stress. Can you share some more of those more common ones?
Sure. Well, and everybody's idea of these things is quite different. If somebody comes to me with an issue, it may be slightly different. It's very hard to actually generalize, and a lot of books have been written with general descriptions, and they don't always relate to people for a good reason. So it's actually quite a difficult question to answer. But if you look, the way I tend to tune in, because I, as you know, I do weekly readings for free in the I Am Spiritually Fierce Facebook group, and that's a fairly generalized reading. And for me, it's been quite a challenge to get over my mental blocks towards doing a generalized reading, because we are all so different. We are biodiverse. So and every person I've worked with has different issues coming up for similar areas or similar issues. So to do that, what I tune into is, well, I tune into the group energy for those readings, but I also tune into the actual physiology. What's going on there? So structurally, what does it do? If there's a symptom showing up, what does it feel like? If it feels like a dull ache, then perhaps it's a niggling thing you're not dealing with. It's really actually coming undone. It's really hurting you, but you're pushing it away and pretending it's not there. If it feels like stabbing, something's really trying to get your attention right now. If it's burning, if it's a real burning, that's a real anger that's coming through. In terms of the actual physiology, I look at the chakras in a big way. So I do look at what the chakras represent in the human body. And there's a lot of information out there about that. But for instance, the stomach. A lot of people have a lot of stomach issues, digestive problems, and that's a very common one for a lot of the female clients that come to me. And digestive issues often come from issues with self-esteem, because it's around the sacral, the solar plexus chakra. So around that chakra, that's where our self-esteem lies. So if we are at odds with how we should be showing up in the world, or where we're holding ourselves back because we don't feel worthy of actually showing up as ourselves, it will show up as physical dysfunction with our digestion.
Yeah.
Which is, that's a really big one. And at the back, our back carries load. We carry weight, particularly an area of issue for carrying the load of others, taking on responsibility that's not ours, or taking it on and refusing to give it to somebody else, or having life heap a load on us that we have to then carry, you know, having to care for sick parents or having to care for a disabled child. The clients that do that will always have back and neck problems because our spine is our load-bearing part of our body. It's supposed to be mobile, it's supposed to be flexible, but when we're under load and can't move, it's because we feel like we've been loaded up by the world. Does that make sense?
It does. It all, I mean, I hope that I'm able to see it from fresh eyes because it all makes so much sense to me. Like it actually seems really logical. Like say the throat, I know for me is about not expressing something that I need to express.
Yes.
And that it just makes sense. And I find that often if I express it just even to my journal, I don't need to express it to the person that I thought I needed to express it to. It just, I needed to hear it myself. It just like they, so I feel like for the players playing at home that if you look at where it is in your body and what that function is and how it feels, you can kind of get an understanding from that. Yeah, it just makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I'm a scientist, so I look at things in a very logical way. I lectured in biomechanics. That was my area of lecturing. So like I obviously am part hippie because I work with energy, but I come at things from a very logical perspective and a scientific perspective. And I've got, I think it must be almost maybe 17, 18 years of physiotherapy under my belt now. Mm. So I have worked from that physical paradigm for a very long time and I've seen how things show up, and pain is always a message. And it's even if you fall down the stairs and break your toe, that's not random. Yes, it's life happening, and yes, perhaps you shouldn't go down the stairs in the dark in your bed socks, but even if that, I'm speaking from my own experience here.
Yeah, okay.
I did this a couple of weeks ago. It was fun times. Even if that's what happens, the fact that it's your little toe is the reason. There's a message in that. It could have been anything else, or I might not have broken anything, or I might have sprained an ankle, or I might have hit my head. I didn't.
Mm.
And it's not just purely functional.
And the thing is, when we go back to what our true reality is, we are souls creating every bit of this experience. And yeah. So that's how Emma can sit there and say it was the little toe, and it was a little toe for a reason, because there are no coincidences. You don't just fall down the stairs one day. Like your soul creates all of this. Everything is perfectly in line with your divine soul path. That's how we can know that every bit of this pain is here to show us something.
It is. And I want people listening to not feel overwhelmed by that, because there will be some people listening who have a lot of pain and who won't want to hear this. Mm-hmm. And it's not any kind of, not heaping any kind of blame or responsibility on people who are suffering, because that's not what I'm here to do at all. And I think there's a lot of that out there in the medical mediums and medical intuitive type world. We are not bringing all this on ourselves, or we're not causing all our own illness in this way. What's showing up for us is there as a message, and it's an offering for us to hear. It's an offering for us to take that and actually do something with it. But it's really important that it doesn't necessarily mean that things will just disappear like that. If you are, for instance, if you have no legs because they've been amputated, they're not just going to reappear because you suddenly believe something different. What needs to happen in that shift, because there's a lot of pain and there's a lot of regret and there's a lot of agony that goes around amputees and amputation. I've worked with amputees as a physiotherapist, and a large part of what needs to shift is the loving what is. Byron Katie says we need to love what is now, because it is God. It is perfect exactly as it is. And once we can shift to go, oh, thank you. What I've got right now is exactly what I need for where I am at, and it is an offering to help take me higher. That's where we have that shift. It's not, oh, woe is me, I've caused this all myself, and, you know, I don't know how I'm going to dig my way out of this hole. That's not the case at all. Sometimes it can be just saying, thank you, I'm listening now.
Yeah.
What's next for me?
I'm so glad that you said that, because it's one of the things that I think I dug myself into at the start of this year, maybe. And I really understand ownership, and I took almost like responsibility to mean like I caused this, so I should feel bad and guilty. And then it just exacerbated what was going on in my life. Whereas if I looked at it like, this pain is pain, or whatever it is, and it is an offering versus like a punishment. I think that's the huge difference. This is an offering from my soul to hear something and do something about it, not a punishment. Like, we are so loved and we are not punished.
We are never punished.
Yeah, yeah. Ricky Jane is both mine and Emma's mentors. I've interviewed her on the show before as well, and she says that to me all the time. It's like a constant reminder, Kerry, you're not being punished. There is no God that wishes to punish you. You're being offered this. I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. It's like every time it's a reminder.
That's exactly right. And you know, you can take the same approach to diet changes as well. We often think, particularly, and I've been there, you know, I used to be 25 kilos heavier. I used to struggle. I went through, you know, diet after diet after diet after Dr. Phil and French women don't get fat. And I did the CSIRO, I went paleo, I did all this stuff. Nothing worked. Because every single time I ate, I was yearning for what I wasn't able to eat. I was beating myself up for being fat. I spent the entire time hating on myself, hating on my food, and not actually eating the food from a place of love, or choosing the food even from a place of love. I saw the lack in everything I ate. And therefore, I constantly lacked. I constantly was hungry, no matter how much I ate. I constantly ate the wrong foods, no matter how bad they made me feel. And there are wrong foods for me and my body. I'm not saying wrong foods for anybody else. For me and my body, there are wrong foods.
Yeah.
And I know that very clearly, because I feel horrendous and I get sick for many weeks if I eat the wrong foods. Yeah. So I know this, but I was not choosing from that place of love. I was choosing from a place of lack. So looking at food as an offering, as opposed to missing out on something else and punishing yourself. I have to eat the celery because, you know, I shouldn't have eaten all that dessert last night. Or it's none of it needs to be punishment. Food can be incredibly celebratory, and it can be very loving and very fulfilling and very satisfying, no matter what the food is, if you put the right energy into it.
Yeah.
No matter how simple it is. It can even be as simple as a celery stick, which is nobody's favorite food. It could be that simple, but if you embody and imbue that celery stick with all of your high vibrating energy, all of your love, and you are incredibly grateful for the amazing structure that it is and all of the liquid that it holds and all of the fiber and the life and that smell of the green forest that it seems to have in the leaves, if you can imbue all of that into it before you eat it, you will eat it in a completely different way.
Yes, this is again energy first, physical second, like the presence that you can bring and the energy of love versus fear that you can bring to your food is what you're then going to be putting into your body and your life. So yeah, oh my gosh, Emma, this has been so much fun. We actually have to finish up. Can you believe it? It's happened already.
That was really fast.
Yeah. Can you tell people how they can come and find you and maybe have you intuit things for them?
Yes, absolutely. I work one-on-one with clients, and I do go energetically into their bodies and let them know where they're out of alignment and how they can go about fixing these things. And often we can clear it in one session. It's amazing how powerful the session can be. And they can find me at emmaturton.com.au. And you can book in with me straight from my website there.
Awesome.
You can also find me on Facebook as well.
And Turton is spelled T-U-R-T-O-N. So emmaturton.com.au. Thank you so much, Emma, for doing this podcast with us.
It's my pleasure.
Good. And thank you everyone for listening. It is honestly the most amazing thing to me that I get to do this, and it is like getting to hang out with each of you each week. So Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for doing this work for yourself and for the world as you do it for yourself. If you would like to come and join the conversation about becoming your own medical intuitive, Emma and I are both in the Lightworkers Rising Facebook group. So you can come and find the post that has both our names, ask any questions you might have, we can answer them for you. And Emma and I are about to head over and do her secret episode. So I invite you to stick around, go to aninspiredlife.com.au/secret, and we can find out what is going on behind the scenes in Emma's life. So I'm not going to ask her like crazy questions. I'm just going to ask her.
I'm very scared.
Stuff, right? I'm very scared. I told her that sometimes when I have like tantra masters and stuff on the show, I ask them about their own self-pleasure practices. I'm like, I'm not going to ask you that, Emma. I'm going to ask you about your own health practices and intuition practices. But we can find out, you know, maybe what are some of the physical stuff that's come up for Emma lately? What are some of her favorite prayers or intuition practices? What does she do each morning and each night? Like that kind of stuff. Behind the scenes, how does she live as Emma connected to her intuition every day? And what are the times when she's disconnected from it? I'm going to ask her that too. So you can head over to aninspiredlife.com.au/secret and hang out with Emma and I again. Thank you everyone so much for listening. And if this podcast has touched your heart and hopefully your body in some way, not in a sleazy way, but in a beautiful, loving, like, you know, healthy way, that's what I'm going for. If it has touched your heart and
not
your
body, sleazy at all.
Yeah, not sleazy. No, all life. I invite you to share it with someone that you love. If you know someone has had a medical condition of some kind, please share it with them so that they can see there's another explanation and offering in what they're feeling and what they've experienced. Thank you everyone so much. See you in the secret episode and see you next week. And thank you again, Emma.
Bye. Thank you so much for having me.
You have been listening to the An Inspired Life podcast with me, Kiara O'Leary. I'm so excited to be guiding you on your own journey of living your own version of an inspired life. Head over to aninspiredlife.com.au if you want access to more inspiring stories, tips, tools, frameworks, anything that I can possibly give you that will help you live a more fulfilling life. I put on there and so much of it is free. And there's also empowering life solutions from the Sacred Business Academy, taking it from an idea to your life's work in only 11 weeks. So I hope you can head on over to aninspiredlife.com.au and find something that will help you and guide you for where you're at right now. Thank you. My name's Kiara again, and I am so grateful to be guiding you on this journey. See you next time.